Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
I'm so glad to be with you. I love doing the work I get to do. I get to do this, and it's a joy and a privilege, and I love being here. I love every single one of you. I do. Love the Lord, His church, and I love the lost. I love the truth of the Word, and I love to proclaim it. I do so in song form. That says morning church. It's cropped off because I've got the wrong aspect ratio. Sorry about that. But morning church, I'm so glad to be here. I took that shot this morning. We're loaded with blessings. I mean, we are loaded with blessings. And when I came out the camper this morning, that's my old rig out there. That's my old camper out there. And that was my sight as I stepped out, the sun peeking through those gorgeous trees. Now, throughout the week, I will be pointing to God's blessings, and I do so to energize you, encourage you to recognize your blessings. If you are aware and conscious of all the blessings that are around you, it will bless you. You will be energized just to realize how much God loves you, how much He takes care of you. I stepped out the camper. Guess what He didn't have to do? Give me a gorgeous view of His gorgeous sun through His gorgeous trees. His creation is awe-inspiring, and it reminds me of just how powerful He is and how much He loves us. I'd like to start off with a prayer this morning. Please pray with me. Lord, we love You. We love to be Your church. We're so grateful for more blessings than we can possibly count. We pray that our time together would glorify Your name, would get the church energized to do the work that You have commissioned us to do, and that is to seek the lost with Your soul-saving gospel, the good news about Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that He offers through His precious blood. I'm grateful, Father, that we could have a safe trip here. And I pray that everything I say here will be in accordance to Your will. And I thank You that You loved us enough to give us the Bible that tells us exactly what Your will is. Thank You, Lord, for loving us in that way. Thank You most of all for Jesus Christ. Please forgive us of our sins, Father. Please accept our worship, our service. Please accept us, Father. We love You and we want to be with You one day. Thank You for everything that is good. Please hear our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you. Thank you for letting me be here. I love the work that I get to do for the Lord. It's rich and rewarding. All right, so this morning, my wife noticed those tiles in the kitchen, hand-painted, God's plants. We love plants. This is our dining room. Now, the plants were out for maintenance or something. My wife does. We both do a lot of things. This is my wife, Yvette's, one of her projects. These are her plants. She tends to them, and they are normally tucked away in those two windows. We have two bay windows there with shelves on the one side, and those are part of the blessings. They remind us of God, how much He loves us. Those are beautiful blessings. So I was reminded of that, so I put that in the slideshow this morning just to point to God, to His glory, to His love for us. God loves me, right there. There's some evidence, one tiny piece of evidence that God loves us. He gives us these beautiful blessings. They're good for our breathing. You put plants in there, and that's how God designed us. We breathe, they breathe, we breathe each other's exhaling and inhaling back and forth with each other. So it's God's glory, God's splendor. So I wanted to give you I'm going to give you tastes of what it is that I do. Part of my work was to be with the American Missions Campaign in Georgia, in Rome, Georgia. We went door knocking. It was a huge, huge blessing to us. Group of Christians hitting the road, door knocking. It works. I'm going to give you a highlight of that trip. Let me first say that this was supposed to be the Latin American Missions Campaign, but COVID shut that down. So we regrouped, and then it was the American Missions Campaign. So we door knocked in Rome, Georgia. One particular door I knocked on was super encouraging. Knocked on the door, and I said, I'm with, rather than I'm a member of, because I was with the Oak Hill Church of Christ. I'm with the Oak Hill Church of Christ. We meet over here. We love God. We love truth. We love each other. We love Jesus, and we love visitors. We'd love to have you. And she said, well, I'm a member of Oak Hill. She admitted to us right then and there that COVID had shut things down, and then she just straight said, I got lazy. And she had not come back to assemble yet. I shined the light of Christ on her, reflected Christ's light on her. She did on me, and we had a bonding moment, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful. As far as I know, that sister came, made good on her promise to come back to this, assemble with the Lord's church. We need to assemble, Hebrews 10:25. We need to always be here to serve. When you're not here, you don't just miss out on being spiritually fed. Well, you miss out on encouraging your fellow Christians. We need to encourage each other. You know what happens if we do that? Get more work done for the Lord. We do. Oh, hit the wrong button. Back at it. There's the rig. You probably saw it out there. Yeah, that's a proper reaction right there. So that's a 96 Roadmaster wagon. 330 foot-pounds of torque. I got the Corvette-based LT1350. That's one of my tools that I use to serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord with a station wagon? Well, I got here with it. Pull an old 74 camper that a brother at Westside, my home congregation, helped me remodel. Now, I'm set up in there. I got a picture in one of the subsequent messages. It shows that I am set up in there. I'm not slumming. It's pretty nice. Memory foam and glass door shower and everything. It's nice. That's Bits. That's Bitsy. That's one of my blessings. You see the snow-covered field? Well, that's our property. We live on 8.5 acres in southwest Virginia in Roanoke, in the Roanoke Valley. We've got 175 yards of that field that runs parallel to, we've got 400 yards of a robust creek. It's called Back Creek. Some of our blessings. We are very blessed where we are. I raise chickens. This is, I'm coming by this honest. This isn't a thing. I wear these every single day. I wear overalls every single day. They're functional. I work the fields at my house, and then I work the widest fields looking for souls. I pray my work is a blessing to you. All right, I want to go to heaven. What I'm going to do is, all of my messages are sermons in song, all of them. Every single lyric is accompanied by the supporting scriptures. What we're going to do this morning, after we sing this song, is we're going to take apart the lyrics, that's what I like to say, of a hymn called 7 times 70. Jesus, talking about forgiveness. It's going to encourage us to forgive one another. So what we'll do is I'll teach you to sing it, then we will take apart the lyrics by the authority of Scripture. That is, we will compare every lyric to the authority of Scriptures, the cited, relevant, supporting Scriptures. That way we will know that what we're singing is the doctrine of Christ. When we're singing, we're teaching, y'all. Colossians 3:16, sing, teach, admonish. The next verse, I always want you to tie that verse with it, is whatever we do must be by the authority of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to sing the doctrine of Christ when we are singing because we are teaching. Now, some songs are vague. I don't like it. I don't. That's not how I write. And the reason is, we have the ability, the opportunity, the privilege to teach when we're singing. So we need to teach real clear truth, and I think you'll find that with my lyrics. I also will lead one song before each message that is written by another Christian, not denominational folk. You see what I did there, right? Denominations, the Lord's church. People in denominations, Christians. Separate, different, okay? We'll prove that this week. So this song was written by a sister named Marie Kinsella. It is a delightful song. A lot of the songs I write, I write and teach, I call them musically fun. We can sing whatever. The music, yes, the Lord's church has music, singing is music, is just a vehicle for the truth that we're going to get across. This song is musically super fun. It's a great backstory with this one because this sister was shy about it. She said she had a song she wanted to share with me. People see my work and they say, I have a song. The sister was shy about it. She came to me in Messenger on Facebook. That's where I cut my teeth preaching, is on Facebook. I know that sounds crazy, but that's how I figured out how to be a preacher. She sent me a message. I have a song. Well, let me hear it. Well, I can send it to you. Here's the lyrics. Well, do you have melody for it? Yes. Well, I can't read music, so can you send it to me? Can you sing it for me? She set up her phone, I think it was pointed at the ceiling or maybe a wall or the computer or something, and she sang it ever so gently, and it was a beautiful melody. I didn't have to change it at all, not a lick. I did not have to change it one bit. Instead, I just sang it out. Now, arranging is the process of writing the harmony parts. That's what I do. Now, full disclosure here, I cannot read or write music. I can make it up, write it, but I can't read or write it. I just sing it out, and I know how it works. God, it's one of God's blessings because it's my talent that he has given me, then it becomes my responsibility to use it. That is also a joy and a privilege. I mean, it is fun to do the work that I get to do. So this song is called I Want to Go to Heaven. Musically, super fun. This is one of those songs that's so easy that all I'm going to do is sing it. And because we're the Lord's church, you're going to sing it too, right off. I know you can do it. The Lord has blessed us with the ability to do this. Now, if it's beautiful to you or to me, I mean what you're singing, guess what? Doesn't matter. What matters is if you sing the truth, then it's beautiful to the only one who matters, God, right? All right. So we're going to do this. I consider this song to be super fun. It is short, and it's a good way to get us started off. It's called I Want to Go to Heaven.
I want to go to heaven and live eternally. The angel band will sing to me for living faithfully. I want to go to heaven and stay eternally. I want to see the godly man that died and rose for me. I want to go to heaven and see the street of gold. My loving Jesus for the gospel I was told. I want to go to heaven and meet all those he saved. I want to sing his glory and give to him all my praise. I want to go to heaven where I'll be free of sin. He said to seek him daily, even just where I had been. He showed my heart his my eyes to see. I know I'll go to heaven with those who have prayed for me. Amen, church.
Way to sing it. Look at that God's blessing right there. That was yesterday. No, day before yesterday. Yesterday morning?
Day before.
On the beach in Florida. Picked up that tiny little crab. Look at that. How many blessings are represented there? I mean, I could go on and on and on about just the blessings in this photo. I see the water between the legs of that little crab on the far left side of that. Water. Well, we need water for life. Only those who are immersed in water get salvation. I see salvation right there. How about that? The little speckles on the crab's shell. His eyes popped up like that. That is adorable. God made that. I mean, that is adorable, for real. Look at those fingerprints. I wonder what that's good for. I don't know, but God made it. It's got a purpose. We can get bad guys because of them. Yeah, there's a blessing right there. How about the brain that went into the camera and the iPhone that could focus on something that tiny and do that? The brains, plural. There are so many blessings represented right there. Trying to get y'all fired up. Singing, preaching, revival meeting. I'm trying to revive you. If you recognize all those blessings, you will have joy and you will be more motivated to point people to the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. He has blessed us richly. This is the hymn of the hour. And that is fine. Only the top's cut off, just the title. So we're good now. You'll be able to see all the music transcribed there. So the Lord's Church has music. It's the best kind. Guess why it's not the best kind? Because that's the kind I like. It doesn't matter what I like. It's the best kind because the Lord specifically asked for it. We can know that He accepts it because that's what He has asked for in the Word. Literally every scripture that governs Christian worship, literally every scripture that governs Christian worship music specifies singing. Literally. Literally none of them authorize playing an instrument made by man. Now, we are the instrument that God asks for. Sing, teach, admonish, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever we do must be by the authority of Scripture. Colossians 3:16 and 17. So we're going to sing this truth together. Then we're going to be more noble like those Berean Jews. You're not going to take my word for anything. I don't want you to take Brian's word for anything either. Anybody that fills this pulpit, do not take their word for it. Instead, be more noble like the Berean Jews. Compare what they're teaching you to the authority of Scripture. Make sure that they're citing the authoritative Scriptures for what they are teaching you. Test them. And it's not that Brian wants to teach you something wrong or that I would. It's that we might make an error because guess what? We're not divinely inspired. We're just men. We're doing the best we can. We wouldn't do something on purpose to teach error, but people make mistakes. It would be your responsibility to step up and say, hey, you said this, but the Bible says this. You know someone who loves the truth, you know what we would do? We would examine it with you. And if we're in error, we'd say, I taught that wrong. Let's go clear that up. Let's go fix it. I bet this guy would do that. He loves the truth. He loves you. He loves the Lord. 7 times 70. How many times should we forgive? How many stars are there in the sky? All
right, we're going to sing this. I'm going to take it apart. I'm going to tell you a beautiful backstory about how it was written. Very sweet story from Virginia Christiania. All right, musically, it is traditional 4-part harmony for the chorus. For the verses, it's call and response. The men are going to sing unison, and then the ladies sing 2-part harmony in response to that. So ladies, it's kind of easy for you, especially for this, especially for the verses. I'll sing the melody, soprano, you duplicate what I do. That's super easy. The men, as it goes, you'll be picking it up. It's really easy. There is one more thing I'm going to point out. That is on the... the very last, we must be ready for the Lord. That is a, I don't even see if it's written that way, but it's a fermata, it's a bird's eye, it should be. It's a hold out there. I hold that note out just for the last chorus, and I'll hold it out like this. You'll see it coming. Isn't that pretty? I marvel at God's creation. All right, church, let's sing it. How many times should we forgive? How many stars in the sky? We must be ready for the Lord to dwell in the sweet by and by. If a brother sins against you, then repent. Let's be willing to forgive.
Forgiving. I bet you recognize a bunch of those scriptures in there. Now we're going to be more noble, like Berean Jews. We're going to take this apart. By the authority of Scripture, by the authority of Jesus. So I was at Virginia Christian Camp. It's my privilege. Some of the work that I get to do is I get to go to Virginia Christian Camp each summer. COVID, of course, knocked it out for 2 years in a row, sadly. And I wash the dishes. That's one of my jobs I get to do there is I wash the dishes and I make the Kool-Aid for the kids. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful, relaxing week of mindless. I don't have to really work. It's just washing dishes and it's mindless and it's enjoyable. Surrounded by kids, my wife and daughters get to go and it's a blessing. It is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. So I was there for the day one of, 3 years ago of Virginia Christian Camp. I was in the kitchen. I was washing the dishes. And this song idea came to me, this hymn idea, teaching hymn, came to me, and I came up with that melody that starts high, how many times do we forgive, and ends low. That came to me, and I said, oh, that's a hook. That's a memorable line, enjoyable to sing, teaching a truth about forgiveness. So I started working on it. It kind of came to me involuntarily. Sometimes I go after a subject. I say, oh, the Lord's Church needs a hymn about this. Or sometimes somebody will come to me and say, the Lord's Church needs a hymn about this, and I'll get busy working. But sometimes the ideas just come to me. Sometimes it's a lyrical idea, a subject, and sometimes it's just a melody. Sometimes I won't even have lyrics. I'll just come up with a melody. As a matter of fact, about 2 weeks ago, I was at home. I was working, getting ready for these two meetings. I just came off of a meeting in Cumming, Georgia last week. I was in the yard. I was working. I'd been moving a chicken coop. I was trying to get ready to go, get my chickens all buttoned up and safe. And I was whistling mindlessly. I didn't know I was doing it. I don't realize that I'm doing it. And I just involuntarily kept whistling a melody. I'm like, that's pretty good. Oh, yeah. So I started working on it. And then when I was sitting in the airport for my delayed flight the other night, 3 hours late, I wrote it. Yeah, wrote it. Wrote the lyrics, finished a hymn sitting in the airport. That's the kind of life that I live. My brain just does not shut off. I dream ideas. I wake up with ideas. I work on ideas while I'm driving. I work on ideas while I'm cooking or cleaning or whatever. In this case, I was washing dishes for the kids at Virginia Christian Camp, and I was singing it out, and it was good. I was working on it, and it was coming together. And the boy that was with me in the kitchen, it was his first year as a counselor, a worker, instead of a camper. So he's like 18 or 19, I guess, at the time. Next thing I know, he's singing it. I was like, oh, okay. So it's not just appealing to me. This is going to work. So we kept singing it together in the kitchen. And then we both walked out. We went and got dirty dishes to bring them back into the kitchen. We both walked into the kitchen singing it at the same time. And I was like, that's it. We got a winner here. Worked on it, put it together, and what you hear is what we got. And let me go ahead and tell you about one line in particular. It makes the hair on my neck stand up each time I sing it. It gives me chills. And that is Words in Red. So I'd written the lyrics, and it was tough. I'd written the lyrics, and everything was going, oh yeah, got the first verse done, second verse, oh yeah, all these lyrics coming together, I'm doing great, oh, it's almost done, and then I was just wrestling with that last lyric. I couldn't come up with it. Once I got Words in Red, it was like a light went off. I was like, that's the perfect ending for this. This is the authority of Jesus talking. So Words in Red, in your red letter Bibles, that's what that's referencing there. Words in Red, so it is the authority of Jesus that we're going to study here about forgiveness. How many times should we forgive? Well, how many stars are there in the sky? Matthew 18, 21 through 35. It's a longer passage. How many times should we forgive? Well, how many stars are there in the sky? We're going to consider the words of Jesus here. Matthew 18, 21 through 25. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. That part always just terrifies me. Your children being sold, your wife being sold, that is a terrifying account. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That last sentence is potent. It's a warning. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know what that means? It means, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You see what I did there? It says what it means. It means what it says. There's no misunderstanding that. If we're not forgiving, we're not going to be forgiven. So I'm encouraging forgiveness with this hymn. The next line says, we must be ready for the Lord. What am I implying there? Nothing. I'm stating specifically that if you do not forgive, you're not ready. You're not ready to be judged. Why? Because if we don't forgive, we are not being forgiven. So that's the overall teaching of this hymn. We're going to keep going. We must be ready for the Lord to dwell in the sweet by and by. Matthew 24:44 is the next scripture. I'm going to go quickly on the rest of these. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Looking at the clock. Sorry. Just trying to make sure I'm good. We must be ready for the Lord, Matthew 24:44, to dwell in the sweet by and by. Matthew 25:34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34, we must be ready. We must be forgiving to be ready. Get ready, stay ready. Continue to forgive your brethren who sin against you and repent. That brings us to our next lyric. If a brother sins against you, then repent. This may be difficult. Let's be willing to forgive. 7 times 70, Jesus said. So I have switched the words around of Jesus there, and I want to talk about that for just a second. 7 times 70, Jesus said. He actually said 70 times 7. So I switched that just for phrasing. It does not alter the teaching of what Jesus said there, because it's not 490 times that we're supposed to be forgiving, is it? It's not. It's how many stars are there in the sky is my lyric. That's my illustration. Can you count them? I can't. Maybe if you try to do that, like you try to do those blessings, can't do it. Neither one works. You cannot run out of blessings to count. You cannot run out of stars to count. That's the teaching that I have submitted with this. It's not 490 times. You're not supposed to say, okay, sinned against me. He did repent. He said, I'm sorry I did it. I will try my best not to do it anymore. Check one. And when we get to 490, I'm cutting him off. It's not that. Mm-mm. How many stars are in the sky? I don't know, and neither do you. God knows, but we don't. If a brother sins against you, if is a huge, huge, tiny two-letter word in the Bible. It is massive. It appears many times and teaches a bunch to us. If. So, Luke 17:3-4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Some people want to just forgive right off. The Lord does not forgive us unconditionally. Neither does he command us to also forgive unconditionally. It says, if he repents, forgive him. That doesn't mean you need to hold a grudge and let it eat you up. But our forgiveness is conditional. It is. It's conditional from the Lord to us, and he also holds us to that same standard. Our forgiveness is conditional on repentance. If a brother sins against you, if you repent, forgive him. And if you trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, I switched the numbers around from Jesus. 7 times 70 is what I did. I did it for phrasing and how it felt natural. Sometimes people will reverse the words of Jesus, and it is devastating. Like when they say, he that believes will be saved and then baptized. You've heard people do that? That's what they teach. And all these man-made churches around here, and I mean like almost every single one of them, these denominations, none of which exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. Denominations do not exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. We're going to cover that in some of our other lessons here. They'll teach you, oh yeah, he that believes will be saved and then baptized. They have reversed the words of Jesus. They have reversed the divine order, and they teach error. They have wrested, W-R-E-S-T, E.D., wrested the scriptures to their own destruction at that point. They teach a different gospel. They teach a different way of salvation than Jesus offers. But this is not the case with 7 times 70, because it's not 490, it's not 490. It's we need to forgive when our brethren sin against us and then repent. 7 times 70, Jesus said, don't hold grudges. Peace instead. Grudge not one another. James 5:9, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. James 5:9, don't hold grudges. Peace instead. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, it's not always possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:18, don't hold grudges. Peace instead. How many times should we forgive? Well, how many stars are there in the sky? We must be ready for the Lord to dwell in the sweet by and by. If we're not forgiving of our brethren when they repent, we are not ready because we are not being forgiven. This is a toe stepper, isn't it? Guess whose toes get step on here? This guy. If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm stepping on mine too. And I do so because I love you and I want you to be ready when the Lord comes to judge us all. If you want to be forgiven by the Lord, forgive others, that's his word. That's Jesus talking here. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6:15. 7 times 70, Jesus said, Matthew 18:21-22, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 7 times 70, Jesus said, tender-hearted, spirit-led. Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted. So we're singing Ephesians 4:32 right there. We just sang Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32, spirit-led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14, is that voice in the back of your head? It is not. That's what the denominations around here teach, is being spirit-led. They're touchy-feely nonsense as opposed to the authority of the Word succinctly revealed to us. The Bible completely equips us, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If you are being led by your feelings, you are not being spirit-led. There's a way in a man that seems right, but that way leads to death. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you're going on your feelings, you're not going to get there. You're not being led by the Spirit. Tender-hearted, Spirit-led. So be kind to one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgives you. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:13, another scripture that supports these lyrics. 7 times 70, Jesus said, love each other. Words in red. It's the authority of Jesus that we're referencing here, that we're singing here. So you just taught me that I need to be forgiving or else I'm not ready for the Lord. When my brother sins against me and he repents, I need to forgive him. That same applies to all of us. So you all taught one another to do that. You taught me. Did you know that a teacher came here to be taught? That's exactly what happened here. You just taught me to be forgiving. We're going to sing it one more time, and that will be the message of the morning. Bible class hour, and I will offer the Lord's invitation at the worship hour and every subsequent message.
How many times should we forgive? How many stars in the sky? We must be ready for the Lord to dwell in the sweet by and by. If the promise is against you, then repent. Let's be willing to forgive. 7 times 70. Jesus said, don't hold grudges, he's instead. How many times do we forgive? How many stars in the sky? We must be ready for the Lord to dwell in the sweet by and by. If you want to be forgiven by the
to be forgiving. Thank you for your kind attention.